Good morning. This is Focus 580, our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We are also pleased to have back here on the program, once again, the man that we like to call our chef in residence. Doyle Moore is his name. Now, let me point something out, ladies and gentlemen. This is purely an honorary title that we invented a long time ago.
A long time ago
in a galaxy far away. Because Doyle now for a long time has been stopping by on the program, always on the first Wednesday, and we talk about cooking and food, and we tell stories, and we exchange recipes, and we always have a good time. Picking some topic to feature. Sometimes it has been a cooking from some particular place, either in this country or around the world. Sometimes it's been a particular dish where there are different ways to prepare it. And we have just said to people, do you make this and how do you make it? And would you mind sharing whatever your particular secret is? And sometimes we get many different varieties and variations on a particular thing. And this time around, he said, well, because Saturday is the 5th of May. It's Cinco de Mayo. This is a big holiday in Mexico, also one that's celebrated by a lot of people in the United States, particularly people along the border region. I think his thought was, well, why don't we talk about a little bit about the cooking of Mexico and of the border region and do that.
And how to have a Cinco de Mayo party.
How to have a Cinco de Mayo party. So that's what we're doing here. And although the rules are kind of loose, we say this is the topic and that's what we want to focus on. But sometimes we end up strolling into different subject matter. And that's just fine. That is just fine. But certainly if you have a good recipe that you might like to share, or you have a question, or you just want to say hi, you can do any and all of that. 333-9455. That's the number here for Champaign-Urbana. We do also have a toll-free line, and that is good anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. And at any point here, you can certainly call in and say hi. So we were just talking before we got going here is that we were approaching the time for the show and you were looking for some inspiration. For the topic and then suddenly realized, well, yes, it is. We are coming up to Cinco de Mayo and it is for a lot of people it's an excuse to make something Mexican or border-ish.
No, it's the 5th of May, and there's no, other than doing May Day, there's no celebrations in May. And so it's an excuse for a party. I think it's more that than anything else.
Oh, okay.
Also, I was inspired by – now, this shows the power of television and ads. I don't remember what the company was or even what it was about, but it did make me laugh very hard. It's this quiet little country scene in Ireland where the fellow – I don't know if he rides his bicycle up, but he may, and he's going to the bar. And he says, and this is the time of the year when we meet at the pub and celebrate our favorite holiday. And they open up this Irish pub, and everybody's in there dancing in Fiesta Cinco de Mayo Day. It makes me laugh.
Well, I think that says something about how people can grab onto
anything
holidays.
Anything for an excuse,
and maybe
exactly.
That's just the thing, anything for an excuse, because certainly I'm sure that there are a lot of people who would claim to celebrate St. Patrick's Day who are not Irish, so I guess it doesn't really matter.
You think there may be.
I had a hunch. Yeah, let's talk with somebody here right away. We have a caller in Urbana, line number one. Hello?
Yes, this may be a little bit of a unusual type of request, but one thing that I've always been tempted to do is I know that as part of a lot of celebrations like this, there's a barbecue goat.
Oh, yes.
That figures into it.
Cabrito.
Yes.
Pastoral.
I was wondering if either you or any of your listeners would have some advice if someone was inclined to do something like that as to how to do it and, the recipes.
Well, my first off the top of my head thinking about it is it is a very, very simple dish. I don't know if there are rubs and mops like everyone likes to do on roasted meat, but generally this is something the way the rural folks would make it. It's on a spit and it's barbecued So I just don't know whether it goes through the trouble of doing marinades and such things. That it may be, but there. My guess is if you wanted to do it without using a barbecue, first I would just fire up the Barbie and roast the chunks of meat, but you might want to wrap it in foil and bake it in the oven at a lower temperature for a longer period of time. Either one of those situations would probably come up. But
so you would do it just like you would say a
ribs,
a steak or ribs. Anything like that.
I do it like ribs. Yeah, because it would. I think it wants to cook a little bit longer. Where are you now?
I'm in Urbana.
Oh, goat is available in Urbana or in Champaign-Urbana somewhere sometimes. It used to be they used to have it at Meijer's, and that would be the first thing is finding some
meat,
goat
right.
meat. Yes, and sometimes university would have goat meat and maybe
I just could select it.
I mean, request it.
Right. I just assumed maybe that there was a special treatment for it other than the barbecue process, whether there was a special...
My reason for being hesitant about that, and I'm just guessing, is that it is such a an immediate done out of doors or done by the folk, and I'm afraid it's not that gourmet inspired. It's really probably just good cooking and proper cooking. I have eaten cabrito pastoral, but there are many. It's always hanging in the front window, and you can see it when you're in Mexico. I remember Mexico City had the best. So, but I never it was never treated as something. Gourmet or special, it was just sort of the meat of the day plopping here. Absolutely delicious. So my feeling is somehow to keep it as moist as you want it and to cook it a goodly long time, because it's a little bit harsher meat than mutton.
Okay.
But it's good.
Okay. Well, thanks
but,
very much.
And maybe somebody has an answer. I'm just guessing at this particular point.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. It's something that I've been kind of curious about. It's not something that's really part of our experience much here in the United States, because it's just not a common meat for us.
No, it's not. Goat used to be available at County Market. The Muslims like goat, and mm-hmm. and they had quite a relationship. I haven't seen it recently, and I really wouldn't. I wouldn't really quite know what to do with it, other than I'd probably treat it like mutton.
Well, that's, I guess, my guess would be that it would be something like lamb.
Yes.
And
well,
mutton.
More like mutton.
Well, okay, now what's the difference?
Lamb is baby, and mutton is grown.
Oh.
And so it would probably be a little more rangy and such.
And it probably would have a fairly strong taste. I think probably a lot of people are not. I like lamb myself, but I think there are probably people who don't like it because it has a fairly strong taste.
You can almost never find lamb, and we grow it so much, but we have to get it from New Zealand. And you can buy lamb is available right now in a lot of the markets. When I was looking for some stuff yesterday, I found an awful lot of lamb. I thought, all of a sudden, here are lamb shanks. Oh, are they good? But I guess you have to go to Greece to have good lamb.
Okay. Questions here, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455, or stories or recipes. This time around, Doyle said, well, as we're coming up to Cinco de Mayo, big national holiday in Mexico, and certainly a lot of people in the United States celebrate it. He said, well, let's talk about the cooking of Mexico and of the border region. And if you have a good recipe that you would share with us, well, like to share with us, do that. Again, 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. There seems like that there really isn't that sharp a line between southern, the border cooking of the United States, like in Texas and places like that. Is there really a sharp line between that and what is done in Mexico?
Yes.
There is.
I mean, to the point that they're almost unrecognizable. They're similar. No, that the whole border cooking and the quote unquote Tex-Mex style, it is very specifically different from Mexican cooking.
So, what is there? One or two things that are really the key big differences? Maybe our fixation with meat is probably one of them.
Well, I have to be careful what I'm trying to say. Tex-Mex is simplified. Mexican cooking is exceedingly rich, exceedingly varied, and rather splendid in some of its preparations. Mm-hmm. But Tex-Mex tends to be a little bit lower on the scale, a little bit more immediate, and no wide variety. I mean, you can argue forever about chilies. Chili con carne. And you can argue forever about what the chilies are that you're going to use, but it in Tex-Mex it's very delicious, but it's very limited, and that's just the way it is. Because some of these things, for example, along with cabrito, which is not Tex-Mex at all, carnitas. One of the folks brought in a carnitas recipe. I'm very fond of carnitas, and any time I go to a town or something, and I think the best that I found is right here in this very town. The carnitas at Dos Reales is very, very good, but then I found out their secret. So they have a secret way of doing it, but that would be a fiesta food. That is something that you would have at a fiesta and a party. It's carnitas, which is quite good.
Yeah. Well, let's talk with somebody else. Someone here in Urbana on a cell phone, so we better not make him wait too much longer. Here, we'll get to them. Line number two. Hello.
Yes. Hello. Mm-hmm. I had a couple of comments and a question. I think that in terms of where you can get goat around here nowadays, I think Moore's, it's available through Moore's Farms, which they have a booth at the farmer's market.
Oh, at the farmer's market. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And also, then in terms of cooking it, I seem to remember that Rick Bayless's first cookbook, Authentic Mexican,
yes,
has some recipes for goat in it.
That's
so
good.
The first caller could look up Authentic Mexican by Rick Bayless.
Rick Bayless,
and probably find some recipes there. But I had a question about, I was served a dish, I think it was for Cinco de Mayo several years ago, where it was a stuffed poblano chilies, and the chilies were stuffed with kind of almost a sweet mixture of ground beef with maybe some pine nuts and raisins or something.
Then
it was covered with some kind of a white sauce, a blanca.
Yes.
Salsa, and then it was sprinkled with pomegranate seeds, fresh pomegranate seeds, so that you had the green, the white, and the red flag of Mexico. And
oh,
I know that's
yes.
traditional, but I don't know the name of it, and I wondered if you had recipes for that.
Oh, goodness.
I'll go ahead and hang up and listen.
Yes. That makes me salivate. I love the idea of the pomegranate seeds sprinkled on the top of a creamy cheese, and I'm very fond of poblano chilies because some of my friends cannot eat green pepper. And so when I know that they're coming, I make whatever. If I'm going to have a green pepper, they can eat poblanos. And the difference, there's quite a difference in taste. The poblano is a little bit hot, but not excessively hot, and don't shy away from it. It sounded like she was describing a chili Rieno, but it's not. And my guess would be that it first I think you would I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think in this case it's going to be a little bit milder to char the pepper and then get all the char off, and then you have a very soft packet that could be filled with whatever, and by whatever I mean, if you're going to use a meat, this is kind of interesting because it's that marvelous cross between Moroccan and Spanish tastes of food to put different spices in with the meat, sort of Armenian like as well. Would be my guess, and the melted white cheese over the top. Sounds awfully good.
Mm-hmm. And I'm here. I've been looking on our one of our favorite websites here, the Epicurious, and there are a few recipes for the chiles rellenos, and there are some for the stuffed poblano, but nothing that sounds like what it is the caller was talking about. So maybe that's a slightly non-traditional kind of approach. I don't know. Maybe somebody else.
No, a very traditional non-traditional.
A very traditional non-traditional. Well, that's what we like here on this program. Very traditional non-traditional. Well, we have someone else to talk with. Let's do that here in Champaign. This is line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, I have the name for those chiles.
Yes.
It's chiles en nogada.
Oh, all right.
And the base for that cream.
Yes.
Is nuts, walnuts.
Walnuts.
Yes. That's the secret.
Then is it a cheese sauce that is put over that?
Well, I think I'm not sure about the recipe, but it has walnuts.
Yes.
And maybe you cook like a white sauce.
Okay.
Sour, and then incorporate the nuts, but that's the base for that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yes, that would make a very very rich taste with that. So it would be like a bechamel with are the walnuts ground chopped up fine?
Ground chopped.
Yes, ground and chopped walnuts in the sauce.
When you taste that cream,
yes,
you can taste those nuts, and the texture is very is not as smooth as regular white cream, but it has the grounds for the walnuts.
And what was the name of the dish again?
Chiles.
Yes.
En? Nogada. Nogada, coming from nuts.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nogada.
Nogada. And that's very popular dish for Central Mexico. I'm from Mexico City.
Yes.
And it's popular Central Mexico and maybe I would say southern part.
I see.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's very good. Well, then, we made a connection. Thank you very, very much.
Okay, I enjoyed it.
Chiles nogada.
All right, well, thanks very much for the call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Others are certainly welcome. 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. See, there's always somebody who knows, who's got the answer to what it is.
Oh,
you're
absolutely right.
You're wanting.
I appreciate that.
All right. Is there something in particular that you were that you would be, so if we were over at your house, what you would be having?
Well, if I could have found my recipe this morning, sister in the Cheyenne sister has taught me to make a tortilla soup, and it is so plain, it is so simple, and it is so good, and hers is really about the best I've ever had, but I couldn't find her recipe, and I don't want to sit and make it up, but the soup is light. It isn't heavy, and it doesn't take a long time to make it. It's very direct, and it's just an amazing set of tastes, which would have some broth, probably some, I think there's chicken, and then tomatoes. And they're all cooked. They're all cooked together. But it doesn't take more than 20 minutes to make this particular soup. Maybe if somebody can find a recipe for tortilla soup, the reason it's called that is that you take tortillas and I like the wheat ones, and they're cut into fourth-inch strips, and those strips are quickly fried in some deep fat or, you know, plenty of oil in the bottom of a skillet. And then that is the garnish for the soup. It's piled on top of it. But maybe somebody has that recipe.
Okay. And just, again, now what I did was, now that we got the name of this dish, chilies en nogada, chilies in a walnut sauce, if you have internet access, you can try this. I put the name of the dish into the browser, and first thing came up here was a recipe. So there's at least one, and it looks fairly involved, so I'm not exactly sure how challenging that would be, but it talks about, you know, how the stuffing for the peppers, which has garlic and meat and cloves and cinnamon and raisins and almonds and some citron and some tomato and some peach and pear, all of that stuff. And then the nogada, is the walnut sauce, is made with, looks like it's just made with walnuts and milk. And then it's also some queso fresco, some sour cream, a number of other things. But at any rate, that here I found at least one, and I'll bet if you just try that, you might find a number of other recipes. So if you have internet access and you're curious or interested in that, just go ahead and put the name of the dish in there, and I expect that you'll come up with some recipes. Let's talk with some other folks here. Someone here in Champaign on a cell phone. They're line one. Hello.
Hi. I was calling. You were talking about the fiesta food. In Texas, one of the things we always had for a fiesta was, or like a wedding or something, was chicken mole.
Oh, my.
And
yes.
The thing here, I'm having trouble because I never can find it here. I always have to go back home and have my mom make it, or at least go to a restaurant nearby. It just tastes different at the places I've had it here, and it's not found very easily around
no,
here.
No, it's not.
And but it's more spicy here than what, like, my grandmother used to make, because she would put in peanut butter and chocolate.
Yes.
With the chiles, roast the chiles and do the whole thing. But unfortunately, she passed away before I got the recipe out of her. And I just wondered if you had any ideas or any places that you found a really good, rich kind of mole sauce as opposed to the more spicy red kind of mole sauce.
Yes, go to Oaxaca. You can get five different moles there. And as we say, the last time I was in Oaxaca, I learned to make two. I learned to make the yellow and the black mole.
Okay.
But I like the idea of your mother using peanut butter, because that is very much like the use of almonds, or that's this ground up in a mole sauce.
Right. And I think that's what made it smoother and
yes,
not so spicy.
Now there are some mole in jars and cans here, and it's not quite as powerful as the Oaxacan ones, and it isn't as spicy. But you could start with that. I'm trying to remember one of the ways of making it. I believe anchos, the chili anchos that you they're dried, and so you moisten them, get them rehydrated, using that as a deep base. That's not really too hot. And chocolate is put in at the end. I remember trying to make this before I learned how to make it with the Mexican chocolate and such. I just put baker's regular baking chocolate in and let it melt. And that's put in right at the end. Also, ground tortillas give it a little bit of body, and it isn't very complex to make. But I believe one of my friends likes to use, is it La Donna, or is
right.
I don't, is it La Donna?
Yes,
that's the favorite one around here.
Right, I was just hoping I could find something a little more akin to what, because like I said, unfortunately, my grandmother took it to the grave with her.
Yes,
that's just That's what happens when you don't write these things down. And
well,
then,
you're right, but what you can...
And I have an idea of the ingredients, but I don't know the... You know, how much of each? What's the actual?
I would say try to make it from what you remember, and then keep thinking about keeping the sauce thick and rich rather than put something in that would thin it out or make and probably a little bit faster. Than an all day cook, I'll bet you'll come up with it.
Okay.
But I.
All right, well, thanks for the idea.
But I sure do like the idea of peanut butter because
I just remember her putting in the peanut butter and the chocolate.
Yes.
After the peppers had been roasted and boiled.
Yes.
And stuff, and then so it wasn't a lot of ingredients, but it was an all day kind of a thing though, because it just. It's kind of like making, you know, spaghetti sauce.
Well, you're right. You're right about that because it's cooked.
Really get the flavors out.
And it's cooked slow. Yeah.
Right, and cook it very slow on low heat. And so I just remember that. But other than that, I don't. It really.
Well, give it a try.
Yeah. That's what I'll just have to do one afternoon. Just go ahead and
that'll do it.
That out and see how it works. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. And I think, too, I guess I have found it just noodling around some on the internet. Again, if you have internet access, there's an awful lot of information about food and cooking and lots of recipes that are there just for free. So you could spend hours just clicking around and looking at different recipes.
Speaking of recipes for free and internet.
Yes.
Guess what?
After many long, I don't know how long, years of requesting people saying, when we give a recipe on the show, usually what we have done is said, if you would please send us a self-addressed stamped envelope, we'll send you the recipe. And people have said, well, would it be a little easier if you could just put it on the website and we could get it that way. And unfortunately, for a long time, we just couldn't do it. And it was kind of a matter of having somebody who had the time
exactly.
to do it. Well, now we have someone who can do that. And
I just met her this morning on the way in.
So the recipes will be from now on out. I don't know if we can go back and do some, but at least from now on out, the recipes will be available. If we give one on the show here, we'll have it on the website. So you just go to will.uiuc.edu/AM. You should be able to find it. So
and I asked her, and she said it's connected to Focus 580.
Okay, so that would make sense to me that you would go to our website
yes.
and look for the Focus, go to AM, and then go to Focus 580,
yes.
and I would think that the recipes would be there.
I just found that out.
Okay, good. Well, we're trying to be user friendly.
We're going to catch up with the 21st century yet.
It's difficult for us old guys. The kids, they're down with the new technology, but for old guys like us, it's very difficult. All right, well, let's go on and talk with some more folks, and next talk with someone in Urbana, line 2.
Hello,
yes.
I suspect that's me, although they didn't give me a line.
Well, it is you, ma'am. Go ahead.
Just one comment. You mentioned tortilla soup. I think
yes.
I've had half a dozen different versions.
Yes, there are.
No two of which were the least bit alike.
And my sister's is the best.
Oh, if you'll tell us how your sister makes it.
Well, no.
But
it, as I said, it's very simple, very fast, and very tasty.
But what I was wondering about, I have had in Mexico some absolutely wonderful seafood dishes.
Oh, my, yes.
You're along the coast.
Along the coast.
I don't have any recipes for any of them. And I don't, you know, this tasted really, really good. I'm in this restaurant.
Yes.
Japan. How do I get the recipe? I don't even remember the name of the restaurant.
I find that there are not very many recipes that you can get of fish, and yet you're right there, and they're cooking it beautifully every time. And it's a great puzzle to me, and I can't find restaurants, local or otherwise. I keep asking, why couldn't we have some fish? Oh yeah, there's a good fish recipe. I know one, but then they never prepare it, and so we are at a disadvantage. But I haven't found too many good recipes for fish because it just sort of is a matter of another one of those matters of, oh, well, if you know how to make it, you make it. And so you don't get it spread around very much.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't help you on fish rescue.
Yeah, well, I know that there's Veracruz style, which
involves
the tomatoes and the whole bit. I've had some stuff that is definitely not that, and all that sort of thing.
I would imagine it would utilize sauces and combinations of things, and probably if you sort of adapted what are the French en papillon, wrapping it up in paper, or using aluminum foil and sort of steaming and cooking it all together, and then find the right combination of acids like citrus juices or tomatoes and some other flavors that you would like to put onto that, it would probably come up with what you're looking for. That's just a guess in my mind, because as I say, yeah, I would like to have a nice Veracruz recipe as well, but never gotten to that part.
Yeah, no, I've not been in Veracruz, but I've been in Yucatan and Mexico City.
Yes.
Places like that. But, oh, well, such is life.
That's it. Yeah, it'll get to us one of these days.
Again, going back to, actually what I was thinking is someday, you know what we should do? We should do a show on things cooked in packages.
I had thought of that.
Now we're getting to where it's warmer. Maybe I don't know if we want to do that in the summertime, but because it would involve turning on the oven, unless of course you could do it on the Barbie, which you can.
I had thought about that. I thought it might have been too rarefied. However, good old Alton Brown, didn't he come up with a whole? I think he calls it cooking in a pocket.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
And it's not a difficult technique. It's kind of like a one-pot meal, and then in the end you take it and you throw it away. You don't even have to wash it.
It is so simple that I learned the recipes from my brother,
yes,
who would like to cook better than he cooked, but his fish recipe wrapped in aluminum foil is still a good treat, mm-hmm. And I was rather pleased to see a wider range of these tastes from Alton Brown.
And just here, also for the benefit of the caller who was thinking about mole, I just for grins here again into my web browser, into Google, I just typed in mole sauce,
yes,
and came up with all kinds of hits, including here, right number two hit is something called the mole page, and it has more than 20. Mole recipes on it. So I'm betting if somebody wanted to just spend some time noodling around, they could find a number of recipes, at least to try, and see if that gets close to the taste that they remember and their
at least the procedure would be right. Similar, and then you could add that peanut. I want the one with peanut butter. I can just see the difference. Peanut butter is a marvelous thing to cook with, and a very exotic taste come from it. It's tahini is very much like peanut butter. Mm-hmm. It's sesame seeds, and I know there's a lot of dishes that I keep thinking, is this peanut butter? No, it isn't. It turns out to be something else. But you could always use peanut butter in that.
Yeah, I made some stews that were either African or African
inspired. Yes. Oh yes. Well, that's
that had peanut
peanuts.
That's where they
African.
Come from.
Yeah, ground nuts.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk with somebody else here. Line 3, and it's Champagne. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I actually called about the tortilla soup, but just in terms of the mole, you can use a variety of different nuts, peanut butter, or it can, the pepitos, the pumpkin seeds are a very common mole ingredient.
Are they ground up then?
Yeah.
Okay.
And almonds. Kind of, as the lady was mentioning, that wasn't a mole, but I think you can use ground almonds also in mole. So it's part of a very common thing is the richness comes from whatever kind of nut you've pulverized.
Yes.
Whether it's peanut or whatever. But the tortilla soup, I worked in a Mexican restaurant when I was young, and you know, it was owned and run by Mexican, so I assumed there was at least some authenticity in the recipe. And,
yes.
I used to love the tortilla soup, and then I became a vegetarian and couldn't eat it anymore because it has chicken stock and chicken pieces often. But then I discovered a vegetarian version of it.
Oh! I'm glad because yes, I'd like to know about that.
And it's actually I don't notice the difference. And
yes,
it's not weak or boring or. You know, most people think if you take out the meat,
well,
meat stock,
what I would say about tortilla soup is it is so complex and delicious.
Right.
You really aren't saying, oh, I'm having this chicken soup. You know,
right? There's so many other things.
Yes, so many other things. I've just learned. Oh, tell me more about it.
Oh, okay. It takes a little longer. It sounds like than your sister's, but it's still not terribly complicated or long. One thing that I love about it is, and this may be why it tastes so real to me, is
yes.
you actually fire roast the tomatoes and the chilies that go in it.
Oh yes,
and you know, stick them in the broiler or hold them over your pilot gas flame. I mean, you know, on the stove, whichever way. And you use this recipe says pasilla chiles, but I haven't been able to find those fresh around here, so I usually use poblano.
Poblano would work, yes.
Yeah, and then so it's two of those, and then 1.5 pounds of tomatoes.
One and a half, yes.
Cut in half, and you just put those on a rimmed cookie sheet and stick them under your broiler until they're done on all sides.
Yes.
And then you peel the peppers, the tomatoes, you don't have to, but the peppers you take the peel off and
yes.
chop them, and then chop up the tomato. And then you it says use a neutral oil, but I use olive. I don't think it's altered, but they say corn is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you would go ahead and put the oil in a pan, and then you have 3 cloves of sliced garlic.
And 3 cloves of garlic, yeah.
Sliced, yeah, they say, which is interesting. And one large onion, thinly sliced. And so you saute the onion and the garlic until it's golden, and then you add the chopped tomatoes and the chopped peeled chilies
mm-hmm.
and sort of crush those with the back of the spoon while they're sautéing. And after that, you put in salt to taste and ground pepper and a pinch of dried oregano.
Dried oregano. Oh,
yes.
A little bit of oregano, yes.
And that goes ahead and just cooks for a second. And then you add 4 cups in my case, I use a vegetable stock.
Vegetable stock,
or
yes.
I use water.
Yes.
And you let that go ahead and just simmer gently for 20 to 30 minutes.
Yes.
And crush the tomatoes again, you know, as needed. And then it can just sit there if you need to stop cooking. Or after 20 or 30 minutes, you go ahead and stir in 1 to 2 cups of tortilla chips.
Oh, stir them in.
Yeah.
I always put them on top of the bowl. I mean, yeah. I just drop them on top of the bowl. But tortilla chips.
And that's how they did it, again, at this restaurant. They actually would put them in so that they do get soft.
A little bit. Oh, yes.
Yeah, and it does. And so anyway, you do that. And then you have as side things, you have 1 cup fresh cilantro chopped.
Okay.
A ripe avocado peeled and chopped, 1 or 2 radishes, thinly sliced, and lime wedges. And those can all be garnishes.
Yes.
And it's great. It tastes just like I remember it tasting.
Oh, that's very good. Oh, I'm glad to know that because I've been searching some vegetarian recipes.
Yeah.
I have to slow down on my intake of meat, so I'm sort of interested. Good, I can do that. I got that all written down. I can do that.
Absolutely, and it really does take from start to finish maybe an hour.
Yes.
Because you got to figure in the roasting. But it's not long. It really isn't.
That would be the longest time would be the roasting.
Right.
But
and the rest of it.
Fire-roasted tomato and chilies.
Oh, and that's wonderful. It makes it really rich.
It gives you a
flavorful.
It doesn't give you smoky, but it gives you a different and it also changes the character of the meat of the tomatoes.
Oh, definitely. It concentrates.
Yes, it does.
It caramelizes a little bit, and it's just that flavor is wonderful. And the you can also use. I've sometimes used just corn tortillas that I put on top, like you said you do, instead of stirring in.
Yes.
For anybody who's worried about salt and or fat content, reduces that somewhat. And you really don't notice once you've broken up the bits and stirred them in a little. You know, you really can't tell.
But you see, the stuff that goes in this recipe is very, very simple and very, very plain.
Yeah.
But oh my goodness, why does that come out to be as good as we both know that it is?
That's just what I marvel about.
Isn't
cuisine
it?
In general, is it's all an accident.
Yes. Yes.
Know? Like whatever was in the place when people needed it and they cooked it and put it together and it turns out to be these amazing cuisines. So.
Well, I love this one very much. Well, thank you. Now,
sure.
Now I have a new recipe that I don't have to use the chicken.
Well, I hope you enjoy it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the call. We have about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580. It's our monthly show on cooking. We've been doing it for a long time now on the first Wednesday with this man we like to call our official chef and residence. His name is Doyle Moore, and he picks topic every time, and we always have a lot of fun talking about that, and sometimes we end up going down some side streets, and that's just okay. That's part of the fun of the deal.
I'm all for it.
And he said at the beginning, he said, well, because this weekend, Saturday is May 5th, it's Cinco de Mayo, he said, well, if you're going to have a fiesta, what would you like to, what kind of dishes would you like to have?
What's the program this weekend? So, there's something happening on Saturday on WILL. I don't remember who.
You got me.
Well, there's an hour of Cinco de Mayo music, I think, after. Well, I have to call Roger and find out.
Okay. So, maybe that's on the FM?
Well, it is. It's on the other station.
That's okay. You can listen to the FM. It's fine. Let's talk with someone from Downs, line number 4 here, the toll-free line. Hello.
Hi. You want a kind of a quick and dirty mole poblano?
Oh, yes. Mm.
This came from an old Sunset magazine long, long time ago.
They were good. They were good a long time ago, weren't they? I still have Sunset. Sister gives me Sunset.
They do these kind of easier to make versions of things that, or at least used to, that I've always appreciated.
Yes.
You need some vegetable oil.
Yes.
2 large onions chopped.
2 onions.
Quarter teaspoon each, ground fennel.
Fennel. Mm-hmm.
Coriander.
And coriander.
Cumin.
And cumin.
Cloves.
And cloves, oh yes.
I think I add more cumin than that these days.
Mm-hmm.
2 large garlic cloves, pressed or minced.
Garlic. Mm-hmm.
Half cup of raisins.
Oh, a half cup of raisins, oh yes.
2 squares of unsweetened chocolate.
2 chocolate.
Cut in little pieces.
Mm-hmm.
A half a cup of smooth peanut butter. Here's your peanut butter.
Oh, good. 1/2 cup of peanut butter.
A can of tomato sauce.
Oh, and 1 can of tomato sauce. Okay.
About 3/4 of a cup of chili powder.
How much?
That's a lot.
3/4 of a cup, that is.
3/4 of a cup, okay.
Yeah, it's good. It makes quite a bit. 2 toasted bread slices.
Toasted bread.
3 to 4 corn tortillas toasted until dry.
And tortillas, yes.
2 tablespoons sesame seeds toasted.
Let's see, I get down here. Sesame seeds, yes.
It's a lot of ingredients, but it goes really fast. 6 cups of turkey or chicken broth.
6 cups of broth, yes.
And a tablespoon of sugar, which I would leave out if you already have sweetened peanut butter.
Oh, all right,
that's
yes.
That's a to-taste kind of thing. You sauté the onions with the spices.
Okay, yes.
Add the garlic.
Yes.
And sauté that for a little bit. Then add the raisins, chocolate, peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
Tomato sauce.
Tomato sauce.
And chili powder.
Okay.
and melt the chocolate. Turn the heat way down or off even until you...
It kind of goes in at the end, doesn't
right,
it?
Right, until the chocolate's melted.
Yes.
Then you put all of that in a blender or a food processor.
Oh, okay.
You add the bread, the tortillas, break them up a little bit, and the sesame seeds.
Yes.
And then you blend or process with as much of the turkey broth as you need.
As you want to make it, whether it's thicker or thin, yes.
To keep the thing moving. At that point, you can strain the sauce if you want to. You can add all of the stock and strain the sauce. I never bother with that. And then you just add as much of the broth or stock as you to get it to the consistency you want, and heat it back up.
Well, that sounds good. That sounds pretty direct.
It is. It's very, very direct, and it actually gets better if you do it a day ahead.
Oh, well, of course.
Because the flavors sort of meld. And this has been a traditional turkey leftover thing at our house.
Oh, uh-huh.
Always then, you know, if you have turkey slices from turkey leftovers, then you add it to the mole poblano sauce and serve it.
That sounds good.
And my mother loves it with fresh cranberry relish.
Oh, my word.
That's fusion cooking for you, right?
I'll say.
She has to have those two together, and it makes a really good enchilada sauce as well.
I should think it would. Yes.
Yeah. So it's not authentic, but it comes close. If you look at the authentic recipes, these things are sort of there.
Well, all of that is a mystery anyway. There's so many stories about where it all started,
right.
Mole sauces, and I think that they're a little bit older than we want to give them credit for. In actuality,
but, you know, they have toasted dried chilies in them that you grind and that sort of thing.
Oh yes,
and nuts that you grind, and so there are shortcuts here.
Well, that's really wonderful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Oh, great.
Oh, boy.
Thank you. That would be something that people could, if you'd like to try this, because I think that, for a lot of people, the issue of if you're really trying to make a traditional mole, it is something that takes a long time.
Well,
it's kind of like it's an all-day sort of a
deal. If you want to do the mole negro, the black one, it takes a long, long
time.
It
takes a long time.
The yellow one isn't quite as hard to make. The yellow one can be made in about an hour. But the black one takes many hours of cooking and fussing and grinding and mixing and all that. This is wonderful. Mole poblano.
Okay.
Like it.
We are almost here at the end. We have a couple of minutes left. I don't know. Is there something else you want to give here last word?
I'm just excited about people who are thinking of a holiday fare. No, I just brought some books along that told you how to have a party, how to have a Cinco de Mayo party, because I have an idea that most people, now two Chili Peppers girls have a book, and they have a little bit in there about having a party, and what their point of doing is making tortillas and different kinds of fillings, and so then everyone kind of goes around and makes their own filling for a taco. And not much greater than that. It's that easy. But I have an idea that in this country, it's probably a little more liquid than eating.
You think so?
I think so.
You think so?
I do. I do.
So just make sure you invite Margarita to the party. Well, in our house, I think now what we need to do is come up with some stuff now that we're moving into the summer. I think
yes.
In our house, we're sitting around thinking, now what are we going to be able to make now that's not going to involve turning the oven on soon?
Oh, that's true.
It will all have to be on top of the stove.
You like that particular part of cooking. Is good cooking without fire.
Cooking without fire, yeah. Well, with minimal fire. As we're coming to the hot time, we're going to have to figure out something else we can make.
Now, do you know that there is a fireless cooking? It's very, very, very old.
Cooking.
I'll tell you. Yeah, it kind of cheats. My father used to speak about cooking, you get an iron, a Dutch oven, mm-hmm. and you would start making something, and you would cook it you would heat it up. But then you got a box of, almost a foot and a half square, and it was filled with a seltzer. Remember shaved wood seltzer? You're not
Excelsior? You mean the packing material?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Excelsior.
Yeah.
And then you would put that pot down in that and cover it over with overcoats, and then you would go away to church or whatever and come back in 3 hours, and it would be done. Is because it was the residual heat that you heated it up.
I got you.
But they called that fireless cooking.
Fireless cooking, really? Yeah. No, that's very interesting.
It's kind of a. Oh, my guess would be it's a turn of a century kind of thing where you wanted to conserve fuel it's what the slow cooker does. It takes something and then it's going to cook it for a long period of time.
Sure.
And of course the temperature comes down. A fireless cooker. Ah. In fact, they made the boxes that had stuff in it.
Well, we're going to have to finish up for this time around with the promise that Doyle will be back again next month. In the
meantime,
look for the recipes on our website, will.uiuc.edu. Go to AM and to Focus 580 into links, and there you will find some of the recipes. And we'll try now from now on to have them there for you.
That's good. And for those folks who are listening on their computers, you can just turn right over and get the recipes right away. She's got some on there now, I know.
There are a number there now. I don't know how long it will take today. It might take a little while for today's, but there are some from past shows there. Thank you very much.
You betcha.